1-13-13 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Daniel.
And a fine morning it is because Kentucky is 1-0.
They are.
But we're going to complain about
it. I feel like I was right on almost everything.
Yeah, you were pretty good. You were pretty good with your predictions there. I had the score, I wrote it down here, 38-17. So I had the 17 right for Southern Miss. The offense kind of threw me off, let me down a little bit. I wasn't quite expecting 50 plays to be run in the game and then 48 of them be the Wildcat. I didn't know they were going to do that.
And I know Eddie Grand made mention of it afterward, but the stubbornness.
Yes.
To just stick with something that was not working. And the idea in my head of a Wildcat is that you aren't supposed to know kind of what they're going to do. Right. But it was the same Wildcat play every time.
Yeah. Like there wasn't anything else off of it. Like it wasn't there to set up a reverse. It wasn't there to set up a pass out of it. And then the thought, I guess, is that at some point, that's going to lead to a 30-yard play. But how many times are you going to let you down?
There's got to be another 30-yard play in your book.
Yeah.
Like something else that you can set up to get that 30-yard play.
Well, let's start with
the
they
positives?
Won.
Yeah.
They
okay.
won.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was a tough game, and they got punched a little bit. And, you know, to win it that way, fighting through adversity, coming back, the defense... Run defense was outstanding.
It was outstanding. 55 yards total, I believe.
And it was defense that won the game. With
Yes.
With the...
55 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Of course, Kentucky only mustered 78 yards rushing.
Right.
But anyways, the run defense was stout.
Way better. Way better. I think they gave up an average of like less than 2 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Which was the best it had done since... holding Samford to 0.1 yard or something like that. So was it Darius West that came in and caused the fumble that Courtney Love recovered? I think so. Maybe. Maybe it was Ware. Anyway, but that fumble recovery right there, that was the ball game. Do you have that one, Love's fumble recovery? Yeah, let's
Courtney
play.
Love had a big game.
Yes, he did. He played well. Play that thing, Brad.
Big third down. Shovel pass. Smith. Let him go. Lost the ball. Kentucky has got it.
That was Darius West again with the fourth fumble.
Yeah, there you go, Darius West.
Courtney Love finds it after the huge play.
Great announcers, by the way. I mean, that was the A-team CBS Sportsnet sent out yesterday. I'm telling you what.
But honestly, as much as Darius West has had to miss...
Yeah.
For injuries and the like. It's so good to see him be able to you know, do stuff like that. It's awesome.
It was funny. He goes to the sideline. They've got a shot of him. He takes his helmet off. He's sitting there. He's just not really doing anything, just sitting there. My mother-in-law goes, he's got an old face. He kind of looks old. Like, yeah. He's
been through it.
Yeah. He looks like he's aged a little bit.
I definitely want to... copycat Miami, and if someone gets forces a turnover, they get to sit on the sideline with that gigantic gold chain around their neck. That is one of the cooler things. That was awesome, but I digress.
See,
we can't do it now because Miami did it. Now it would look stupid if we did it.
But you got to be Miami too. I mean,
yeah, probably.
You never had Luke Skywalker on your sideline, so kind of hard, you know. Jimmy Johnson, Michael Irvin. I mean, they got that flair, that swag.
Yeah.
If anybody's going to do it, it's Miami.
But you wouldn't think Mark Richt would be like, that would be his style.
No, you would not.
But it was, that's pretty awesome. Anyway.
But that Darius West
forced
fumble, play of the game. I mean, holding Ito Smith, one of the best running backs in the country.
To nothing.
Yeah, to nothing. That was outstanding.
For me, the play of the game was Denzel Ware's.
Scoop and score?
Yeah. That was the play of the game for me.
That was pretty awesome as well. Big Josh Pascal at the end there. That was a safety. I'm looking at it, I'm going, everything but a butt cheek is in the end zone.
Yeah.
How is that not a safety?
Well, probably because they took the chains out and measured it, said it wasn't a safety.
I mean, when you watch that over again, they measure it, the guy comes out and goes first down, and the guy that's on his knee looking at it looks up at the other official like, what? And so I start to question myself, like, do I not know what a first down is? Do I have a poor definition?
Right. Have I been watching football this whole time and playing it all through high school and not know what a first down is?
Because I thought it had to be passed. Then it couldn't have been clearer.
It was a chain link.
Yeah. So I don't know if the big guy who called it just, he couldn't see over his belly. He didn't want to get down there.
Well, and
Southern Miss gave him a buck or two. I don't know.
And Stoops has, you know, it's been kind of a running joke. Now that, you know, the coaches can't run out there and hoot and holler and everything.
Right.
And it took everything in him and his staff to not completely bulldoze the field. But could he have challenged in that situation? I don't know.
You could challenge the spot of the ball, I guess. Yes, you could do that.
Because it was a bad spot, and even as a bad spot, it was still not a first down.
It was a bad spot. There's no doubt about it. It horrible spot in the first place.
So I wondered that. Could he have challenged? I'm just not familiar with the things you can and can't challenge a lot of times.
I think
they're so arbitrary.
They change it every year.
Yeah, it's so arbitrary what they decide it is. But if I were him, I probably would have, if that was something you could challenge.
But how about, was it Mark Hill, the strength coach?
Oh, yeah, he had to.
Yeah, he was the get back guy.
He is tasked with holding him down.
And so my mother-in-law, my mother, really got a kick out of seeing him just keep grabbing Stoops around the waist and pulling him back. Because it looks so funny to see Stoops walking out there and then a dude just pulls him back by the waist. Okay, well, no, come here.
They need to put one of those kid backpacks on him that have a leash.
Yanking
a little
him back.
Wildcat backpack with a leash on it.
Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't tackled when they called it a first down.
But he had every right to be furious at that point.
How about that? We didn't see one of those yesterday, did we? Did you? I didn't see anywhere on any highlights that I watched of any coach getting a sideline thing, except Shannon Dawson.
Yeah, Shannon Dawson did. But there was also an Alabama.
Was there?
Got a sideline warning. I don't know that they got a penalty.
Yeah.
Bobby Petrino should have had something thrown on him for the wearing transition lenses in his glasses.
Ugh. My son goes, now why don't we like him? And I said, well,
son, sit down.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to wait till you're a little older to explain some of the reasons.
That's exactly right. I said, well, I can't tell you all of it. I said, well, tell me what you can tell me. So I start to tell him about how he left Louisville for Atlanta and then left Atlanta before the first season was over. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's right. He left in the middle of the night, right? I'm like, yes, that's it. So you already know. See, you just forgot.
He's got a bunch of things in the middle of the night that are not good.
How old do I have to be to know the other thing? And I said, 16. Or until you learn how to use the internet better. That game, that Purdue-Louisville game, I listened to Louisville radio some during the week. I'll catch it. And they were all confident that 25-point spread was, I see Louisville scoring in the 50s. You know, it's just a matter of how many points Louisville's going to score.
Well, it hurts when you fumble at the goal line. Twice.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Benny Snell also learned that. Ugh.
Yeah, Benny with the butt fumble. And you could tell he was so frustrated yesterday.
He was.
And, you know, coaches even said it wasn't on the offensive line. They were disappointed in the running backs for not being patient.
Yeah.
Not following the blocks, not looking for those holes, just going.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Kentucky never established a run game. Just never.
No, they didn't. Eddie Grand, here was his first comment about that. He was asked about the run game. Was it frustrating, Eddie?
Yes. It was very frustrating. You know, when Bunchy got dinged up a little bit and we kind of started moving guys around, I just never felt continuity. There just wasn't anything that was working, and I promise you we tried a lot. But you know what? The great thing about it is that we won the game, and we have an opportunity to come back next week and get some of those things fixed. Find out who that group is, how we can get that better, and be more consistent for sure.
And there's definitely ways to get this fixed. And the old adage is there's no greater improvement than between weeks one and week two.
Right.
And some of those things are definitely fixable.
Not having John Toth there showed up. Mm-hmm. And then when you have the guy who replaces John Toth, Bunchy Stallings, out. Graham mentioned that. When you don't have, Cole Mosier, then you're one less guy deep on there. Ramsey Myers was a starter who decided not to play football another year. Maybe they just, this is a group that maybe just needs a little more time themselves of playing to get it right. But also, for instance, the Benny Snell fumble, if you run right into the back of one of your blockers, nothing good's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's
a big guy. You had to see him there.
They didn't seem to find holes, but, there didn't seem to be holes either. So I don't know. You can't feel great about it because Southern Miss, say what you want about their defensive line, it doesn't compare to what they're going to see South Carolina, Florida.
No, and I was kind of impressed with South Carolina yesterday.
Yeah.
Again, it's hard because I don't know. Maybe NC State sucks. And they played South Carolina within a touchdown. But I still think South Carolina looked improved.
Well, I think NC State was supposed to win that game. I think they were the favorite. South Carolina's quarterback played well.
He did. Their defense played well. Florida's defense is pretty good. Their offense is terrible right now. They scored 3 points on a Michigan team that was out of sorts for a lot of that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Two pick sixes, and that was it for defense was offense.
Yeah.
But, the offensive line for Kentucky, I don't know. They seem like they've got enough pieces there that it should come back and work itself out. But Kentucky has got to be able to run the ball, has to be able to have success. And the Wildcats, not it. Just throw it away. Throw it away.
Yeah. I wonder if the Wildcat would be better if Lynn Bowden were back there running it. You had kind of thought that Lynn Bowden would have a breakout moment in this first game.
Yeah, I thought he'd be much more a part of the offense.
Not only that, but he was such a small part of it that he seemed to get rather frustrated.
Yeah, he went on Twitter and put his business out there on Twitter. He
is right on Front Street. I feel like I got played.
Yeah. He made it sound like, from what he tweeted, that, now he didn't come right out and say it, but you can read between the lines. He basically made it sound like, I was tricked. They tricked me to come in here to Kentucky that I was going to be a part of this offense from the get-go, be a game changer, impact player, and they didn't even play me today. And somebody else kind of responded to him, said, yeah, it kind of ruined my day. He's like, yeah, it ruined my day too. So, it was out there that he was not happy that he did not play today.
And now it's going to be, Saturday. I'm worried it's one of those things where now Stoops may have to take action and say, well, now you're not going to play this Saturday because you can't put your stuff out there like that.
Somebody is definitely going to ask Stoops on Monday about it. Someone will. We have John Hale on this show at 10:30. We're going to ask him about it. So it gets out there. It has to be addressed. If Lynn Bowden says nothing, you don't have to address it. You don't have to.
This was working offensively. Gets asked why was because nothing else was working offensively.
Mm-hmm.
So why not, if you've got this guy that you have, guys,
yeah.
And it about since he was able to start practicing with you guys.
Yeah.
And at scrimmages, he's making spectacular plays. And and Kentucky's offense wasn't even making routine plays yesterday. So let's try for a spectacular play and just see what happens. So why not put him in there? I think Stoops would have still been asked about Bowden on Monday. Maybe he was asked about him last night. I don't know. He wasn't. I wondered it.
Yeah.
I wondered why he wasn't in there after all we've heard.
And they played seven freshmen. So it wasn't like you can't say, well, we were worried about the situation, tight game, hate for a freshman to get in there and give him a chance to make a mistake. Or they say that and say, because he wasn't here in the summer and doesn't have as much experience as these other guys with us, he only made it here and practiced the second week that we started practicing. We just didn't feel he was ready, that sort of thing. Maybe that's what they'll say. But, yeah, how is Stoops going to handle it? Is he going to punish him for this with playing time, with, you know, extra conditioning? How's this going to go? But Jen Smith from the Lexington Herald Leader was on our show yesterday, and when we asked her about this, she said she felt that maybe Eddie Gran kind of learned a lesson from not playing Benny Snell earlier, and that because of that, that maybe he would play Bowden early in the first game.
There was no indication through all these media opportunities this fall that Lynn Bowden wasn't going to make an immediate impact. They usually, coaches are so tentative about that stuff.
Yeah. Let's rein in the
freshman. Yeah, absolutely. They never did with him. Mm-mm. And so for him to not, I mean, he basically did not play.
No. Never on kickoff. He wasn't a part on kickoff. They
played third string slot a couple times, right?
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
And the Wildcat, if you're going to run the Wildcat.
I thought that's what he was, part of the thing.
Here's a quarterback. I mean, it opens it up so much. One thing that bothers me about the Wildcat is if you know you're going to run it like this, why is Steven Johnson even in the game? The creativity was lacking. I'll just say that. Because they're going to play at South Carolina back. And they feel good enough with what they did that they could beat Southern Miss with the defense they played, and that they've got EKU coming in, so they don't have to really show their hand there either, and then they're going to break out more of what they want to do. That seems crazy, right?
Well, it does, because this game was not settled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this game, it was a one-score game for a lot of the day.
Yeah.
So I just don't think you would say, well, let's hold back, win or lose. Like, they had to win that game. So think about it. If Denzel Ware doesn't scoop and score, I mean, the offense didn't.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it was a defensive score that put them, that was the difference.
Third and inches.
I told you to take Southern Miss in the points. I did.
Third and inches. Do you remember third and inches?
Yes.
This play call?
Yeah.
Saheem King out of the Wildcat.
Yep. Yeah.
On third and inches. Here is your scat back.
Lost 3 yards, was it?
It's your scat back. It's not your power runner, powerful legs, drive through, get that yard you need guy.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Third and six. They called Bill Curry and said, what would you run, Bill? I'd run a draw. Let's do that. I mean, I know Steven Johnson has some run game, but it wasn't even just a read pass option. It was straight, let's stand here for a second and then take off and see if we can get 6 yards on third down.
6 yards. I mean, that's a good chunk.
Yeah. I almost felt like they were afraid to throw the ball.
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right. We got to take a break. Jack's on the line. Jack, we'll get to you right after this. 381-1313 if you want to get in here and discuss the game. They won, I know, but it's just still. Can't help it.
Yeah,
you can't help it.
I know.
It. Here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oh no, I broke my iPhone.
Experimat can fix it.
But how much will that cost? I'll probably have to rob a bank, hit the lottery, or hope a long-lost relative leaves me a huge sum of money.
Not at Experimat.
Experimat? What's that?
Experimat is your place for pre-owned Apple products and repair.
Repair?
Yep, iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBook, and Macs. You break it, Experimat repairs it. Experimat, 2380 Norman Lane, Suite 130, right next to Salsarita's. Or call 859-368-9265. Experimat, computers, tablets, phones, buy, sell, trade, or repair.
Hi, this is John Blevins from Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling with some summer plumbing tips. Be careful what you put down your disposal after your cookout. Run cold water at full pressure for 15 seconds before and after you put anything down the disposal to flush it through, and never put instant stuffing, potato mixes, or any just-add-water foods down the drain. For all your plumbing needs, call us at 859-252-3519. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, the
Plumbing Busters!
Hi, this is John Blevins from Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling with some tips for the summer heat. Consider using an interior fan along with your window air conditioner to spread the cooled air through your home without greatly increasing your power use. Avoid placing appliances that give off heat, such as lamps or TVs, near thermostats. If you need a reputable company for any air conditioning needs, call us at 859-252-3519. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, the
Heat Busters!
How do you see the world?
Ha! At Shriners Hospitals for Children, we know that changing how you see things can turn them into
everyday miracles!
Like riding my bike.
Breaking boards. Ha!
Hugging my mom.
Every day, for over 90 years, Shriners Hospitals for Children has been sending love to the rescue, regardless of a family's ability to pay.
If you know a child we can help, visit ShrinersHospitalsForChildren.org.
ESPN Sports Radio.
It's alive!
1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Is this Mother by John Lennon? No. Oh. I love AC/DC, but it's Sunday morning, my man. Come on, Brad. Get him out of here. Come on. We don't want the devil in here on Sunday. Good grief, man. AC/DC is Saturday music, Brad. Saturday. We're going to learn him. We're going to learn him, Mary Jo.
Where's Magic Carpet Ride, for God's sakes?
Jack is on the line. Good morning, Jack.
Not the least bit impressed.
Oh, yeah.
Right, but your team looked impressive.
You talking about Alabama?
No. Yeah, I tell you what, we had you on for 2 minutes, and then we just got back from Atlanta, and I'm exhausted. But I tell you what, that Mercedes-Benz Stadium is a palace. My God.
It's so hard on TV to really grasp it. It looked beautiful. So just tell me what your experience was there, because that whatever that thing they have hanging from the it's like a circular board kind of thing. That looks really cool.
I really can't describe it, but the outside of the stadium, the architecture is just phenomenal. It's just it's odd. I can't describe it. It's beautiful. It's really something. I will say this. I feel so sorry for DeAndre Francois. He's probably out for the year. And it wasn't a cheap shot. Ronnie Harris just rolled up under him, so it was.
He was running for his life like he was all night, like he did all last year. I mean.
But, Mary Jo, how old is your son, Sam, now?
11.
11. I guarantee you, I'd bet the house that his forearms, biceps, and triceps are bigger than Saheem King. That kid's a stick.
Yeah, he's a little guy. He's definitely not who I would snap the ball to in the Wildcat on 3rd and Inches. I'll tell you that.
That's no.
You're running him off tackle, and the guy weighs 170 pounds. He needs to be in the slot before he gets killed. We're going to hear all this. We're going to hear this week. We'll get back to work. We'll get it fixed. And there's so much improvement between the first. Well, the second game is Eastern.
Right.
Exactly.
You're going to look great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, last year.
Yeah, but you should be able to open up holes and run for daylight, and Saheem King will probably have 100 yards, you know.
I heard where McDonald's is giving away Happy Meals for every tackle Matt Elam makes in the over-under spot.
He had four yesterday.
He had four.
Well, they're in trouble.
He actually played better. I was on him pretty hard in my house. Just our comments amongst ourselves were pretty harsh towards Matt early on. But then he did come back and redeem himself a little bit and played a little better. I thought he did play maybe his best game he's ever played at Kentucky. He did cause some disruption in there.
I was surprised that South Carolina played that well on the road.
Now, they gave up 500 yards of offense, only had like 240-something themselves, and still found a way to win that game.
Yeah.
What do you both of you feel about what McElwain has done to the players that had to endure the loss of 10 players? Is that just going over the top there, suspending 10 players? You cost your team a victory. I don't know, but
I guess if you want to set the, you know, the right tone and say we're just not going to stand for this kind of stuff, I honestly don't even know what they did.
I don't either.
I don't know enough about it to know what they actually did. I know that
McElwain basically alluded to the fact that he was the only coach that would have suspended him.
Yeah, probably. Like he was like, most places would hide from this, cover it up, we're out. I tell you what, McElwain, it's not Will Muschamp's fault that their offense stinks. Okay, it's McElwain now. I mean, so that something has to be done there. I mean, you're telling me Florida can't have a better offense than this?
Yeah,
they can't find a better quarterback. I mean,
there's not some athletes in the state.
It feels like it's been since, you know, Tebow. Steve Spurrier. Yeah, Tebow.
Yeah,
Urban Meyer. Yeah,
yeah. They have not had an offense under Zook.
No,
Muschamp.
No,
or McElwain. No offense.
Yeah. Offense looked pretty good last year against Kentucky, though. I will say that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Always does.
Okay, well, I'm going to go unpack, and you guys have a great show and a good week.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
Right. Yeah, bye-bye. And Damian Harris had himself a pretty good night last night for the Crimson Tide.
Go ahead, Brad. Tell us what they did. You said you know what the Florida players did to get suspended.
9 of the 10 guys used their card at the bookstore for supplies and stuff like that, and then they planned to turn around and sell it for cash. And some of them were in the process of doing that because they can't use their student card off campus and at certain places, so they wanted cash. So that's what they were doing. They were saying that they were using their benefits incorrectly by using it for, like, school supplies in the bookstore and just selling it, basically. And then the 10th player was suspended because he got busted for possession of marijuana just days before the game. I think it was Wednesday this past week that he got busted.
All right. Well, the possession of marijuana, that's illegal. So you could be arrested for that. So I would suspend that kid for a game. Now, the selling your supplies for cash, I guess that's not illegal, but it would be an NCAA violation.
I'm sure it's an NCAA violation, yeah. Look, if they can't put cream cheese on the bagels.
I know. See, it's so hard. And if I'm McElwain, I don't want it to appear that I'm with the NCAA on this one, guys. You know, I would be more like, I feel you, man. You got a full-time job playing football. That's what you have. So you basically can't have a job to make money. So it's tough. All the money you get is what we give you to live on. You're not like other guys. I mean, I understand it. And, yes, our university makes quite a good living off of your backs, and you get nothing for it other than an education, which, you know, that's big too, but I get you, you know. Instead, it's, I'm with Mark Emmert here, guys. Looks like you're not going to play this first game. And no rap music in the locker room today, okay? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know that.
Also, Sam would have totally done that. My kid. He went to Walmart one day. Because we used to live right by Walmart, so he could walk there. And he bought, like, the box of Skittles that has all the individual packs on it, in it.
Yes.
Like, that's at the counter. So he bought a whole box of them with his money.
Yeah.
And then turned around in front and stood inside the Walmart and tried to upsell them to people. Inside the Walmart! till the Walmart manager had thrown him out.
You got a little entrepreneur on
right,
your hands.
So then he took him and he went to, he just goes door to door, knocking on doors, asking if they want to buy Skittles.
Oh, man.
For like $2 a bag. And I'm sure that some, because he was like, he did make some money. I didn't, you know, I've since put a stop to this. But I'm sure it was like, we're fundraising for my baseball team or something like that along those lines. No. So if you see my kid selling something, it's for his own
benefit.
It ain't
legit.
No, it is not legit.
Yeah, see, I get this. It's a bad, you shouldn't do it, you know, but suspended,
I don't know if that's suspension,
against Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with Jack here. You did cost your team there. Now, the bigger picture would be that you tell these players that they're being selfish. They should have thought of this, that they're hurting the team, that kind of thing. But that's not what's going through their head. You think they gave one thought of,
I bet maybe I won't play that Michigan game.
I'm not being a team player, guys. Maybe we shouldn't do this here. We're going to hurt our team if we do this.
And doesn't it already hurt our team enough that Malik Zaire is the quarterback?
Yeah.
Haven't they done enough damage here?
Hey, fellas, let's think of Malik here and not do this. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. All right, 381-1313 is the number to call. Al, we'll get to you next here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
When Murphy was born, the doctor dropped him.
Sorry about that, ma'am. They're just so slippery.
On his first birthday, the single candle on his cake burned down the family home.
Grab the cat!
When he was 12, he hit his first home run, which hit his father in the head and left him thinking he was a chicken.
Dad?
Throughout Murphy's life, anything that could go wrong did. But now, even Murphy can win.
I can?
With MyBookie.ag, anyone can bet on sports and win.
But I never win anything.
All you have to do is sign up to get 50% bonus cash. Bet with confidence. MyBookie.ag has fast payouts and the best customer service in the business.
I just bet on the Browns to win the big game. That's Brady's team, right?
Okay, maybe Murphy will never win. But you can on MyBookie.ag. Log on today and use the promo code radio.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
An unexpected injury due to no fault of your own is one of the most frightening and stressful times of your life. At this very time, some unethical lawyers or their representatives, known as runners, may reach out directly to you. This is not allowed. Many times, we find that one of these runners will actually go to the hospital looking for clients. If this occurred, you are most likely entitled to all of your legal fees back and the cost you were charged. Additionally, my worry is that a lawyer who would risk their license to practice law may well have settled your case for less than it was worth. Desperate people do desperate things. You may have a legal malpractice claim as well. Call us to see if you're entitled to a full refund of your legal fee. Protect yourself and your family. Call us for more information on your cell phone at #law. That's #529. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.com. Offices, Lexington.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at @DReefer or at @MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I mean, we've just scratched the surface of what we're going to talk about on this show with this game. I mean, it can go anywhere. 600th win, by the way, in UK football history. They were sitting on 599, and they got it. And Mark Stoops was tickled. He said it was a thing of beauty. We'll get to that in a minute. First, let's get to Al. Good morning, Al.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, thank you. Kentucky last year ended the season on a good note in both of the games they played. While they lost the bowl game, it was an achievement just to win a bowl game or go to a bowl game when there was high predictions out there that we would even go 4-7 or what have you after we lost the first game last year to the team that we beat yesterday. We went down to Louisville and beat the Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson. Went to Florida. Of course, we lost, but it was an achievement that we went. Then we come the first game of the year and we lay an egg by using the Wildcat offense too much. When in this day and age, people want exciting football. They want it spread. They want you throwing and put pressure on the defense by throwing the ball. The Wildcat is so predictable. It is as boring, Mary Jo, as the four-corner offense that Dean Smith used to run.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with the Wildcat package at all yesterday. Not at all. And if they're going to try to run it, they just needed to run it differently. I mean, they just didn't even run it correctly.
Yeah, somebody told me, I said, that right there is why I gave up my season tickets. That's why I don't have my season tickets, is I don't want to watch that boring Wildcat 3 yards in a cloud of dust offense. I'm sick of it. I'm not going to pay to go see that. That was someone's comment to me that has had season tickets since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And up until last year, had them last year, and said, I am not going back to watch that again. And that was, right. And they broke through last year and got to a bowl game.
Yep.
So.
Well, I mean, they're going back to, what Matt Roark done against Tennessee, which was good, and that's when it was really kind of introduced. But, I mean, even you don't have no package, no offensive schemes out of that set, and that, he could have thrown the ball, could have faked it, could have given it to a speed guy on a jet sweep.
But that's the thing, that it was the same play out of the Wildcat every time. And now, when they beat Louisville, they were not afraid to go to the air.
Yeah.
I mean, they threw the ball, and then Eddie Grant said, that's the kind of offense, that we would like to run. But then they come out in this game, and it's just...
I think they were afraid to turn it over.
They must have been afraid of something.
Well, we've got comments from Eddie Grant right after we were done talking to you, Al. We'll play what Eddie Grant had to say about this.
Well, the thing with that type of offense is that you really come in, and although you win a game like that, you still lose a portion of the fan base excitement. I mean, you win a game, but yet still all the comments I heard on talk radio yesterday is that they were just disappointed with the offensive performance. With that said, the defense was stellar.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big fella, Elam, had a couple of nice stops. Mm-hmm. Courtney Love and those guys was flying all over the ball.
Yep.
The defense was stellar, but you want to be in the when you look at ESPN scoreboard, you want to be in the 40s, 49 to 13 and that type of thing, just like the other big cats that's playing, other big teams that's out there playing. You want to be out there where you're on the scoreboard where you don't stop the team. And I just think that, when people look at a 24 to whatever they score.
17, yeah.
That doesn't build no excitement for our fan base.
And regardless of how good or bad or whatever Southern Miss may be, and I don't think they're a very good team, and they went through a couple quarterbacks yesterday, I think you're right, Al. I don't think this morning feels like 1-0 on our way to 8-4. I just don't. Like, it feels like 1-0. I hope we get that 6.
Well, it feels like you got to dress it up. Mm-hmm. It feels like you got to sell it. Like,
but we still won.
Yeah,
we won.
We still won. Offense was terrible. Yes, it was terrible. But the defense, and this is true, though, the rushing defense. You're talking about a guy in Ito Smith who tore up Kentucky last year. He ran for 173 yards against them. That's a career high for him. And he rushed for 1,459 yards last year, and he's the only active player with 3,000 rushing and 1,000 receiving yards in his career in college football right now. So he is a good running back who, I guess, has run for 1,000 yards 3 years in a row or 2 years. And so he's a good running back is what I'm trying to say. And Kentucky held Southern Miss to 55 net rushing yards. And they limited it to 1.4 yards per rushing attempt. Now, that's really good.
That's really good against whoever. Really, against whoever, that's pretty good. But against
when you've got a proven guy, who's, you know, a top 10 running back in college football, and you hold the whole team to 1.4 yards per rushing, that's the biggest takeaway. And we haven't even talked about this yet, Mary Jo. The special teams, Matt Panton, the punter. He pinned him down there at the one twice.
There was one time where I was like, okay, guys, is there a huge difference between the one-yard line and the one-inch line? Because you're about to screw this up.
Yeah, don't mess it up. But that is so big to flip the field like
it
that.
It is. He did great.
Field
he was great.
Was good, yeah.
Right. And I think that once you look at what's moving forward, I just think that you got to put pressure on defenses by just throwing the ball. Just throw the ball over the field. Get the ball to Conrad on scheme. Get the ball to the – I know you don't have Burdette and some of the other guys, but get those guys involved, man, on wheel routes and fly patterns. And just throw the ball a little bit more. So, y'all guys do a great job on Sunday, and I appreciate what you do for your radio station.
Thank you, Al. Thank you, Al.
That's good now. Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, let's play the Wildcat part here. Here's Eddie Grand. He's kind of asked, and I think it might be our guy John Hale who's coming up here at 10:30 on the Dan and Mary Jo Show here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, who asked this question, which it takes a little bit. It takes some toughness to stand right in front of the offensive coordinator and say, you ran that Wildcat a whole lot, didn't you? Didn't work very well, did it? And I believe this was John Hale that asked this question, but here's Eddie Grand's response.
A lot of Wildcats today, even necessarily, maybe it wasn't always working. Is that just something that...
Yeah, I wanted to, you know, part of me is a mentality. I probably got a little bit too stubborn. Probably could have opened it up a little bit. Defense handed in hand. You know, they were really getting after their tail. And you know, part of me wishes probably when I go back, I wish I'd have opened it up a little bit. But at the same time, we got to be tough. We got to run the ball. You know, we had some shots down here at the end that we really had a chance. But we just didn't execute very well. We weren't very good on third down. And not even close to where we need to be. So, you know, we got a lot to work on. And after our first game, I hope that saying of you get better from the first game to the second game, that we'll see that improvement next week.
When he says they weren't very good on third down, Dan, 3 of 13.
Yeah.
Third down conversions. 3 of 13. Kentucky had 12 first downs the whole game.
Yeah.
The whole game.
They did a good job against...
They did a good job against third down. They held Southern Miss to 4 of 17. But still, you can't... And one of those was third and inches, like you mentioned. I mean, just... And you can't convert.
And Stoops even said after the game, it seemed like a game of inches, that, you know, that we were just inches off. And then that first third down conversion that Steven Johnson missed wide open over the middle, he threw it a foot too high. Maybe that's why Eddie Grand went, but you got to let your quarterback work a little bit. I mean,
I think that was his thought in letting the running game work a little bit. I think he thought it was going to work itself out. And they do need to be able to run the ball. I mean, that's 100% true statement. The only thing I didn't love about what he said was the defense had it in hand. Yeah, they were playing exceptionally well.
Yeah.
It was still a one-score game.
Yeah.
Like,
they didn't have it in hand.
What did Rich Hill threw a no-hitter through a perfect game through 10? They still lost the game because the offense didn't deliver anything.
Right. And had it not been for Shannon Dawson... And his, you know, penalty there against
fiery temper.
Then they would have had better field position and maybe had a chance to move it. But since they were pinned back there, it's tough to get out of there. And by the way, there were some shots on social media by media taken at Shannon Dawson that was kind of like, it's the first time Shannon Dawson's helped UK gain 15 yards. You know, that kind of thing. And some of the players saw it, like Patrick Toles, I think, Reese Phillips, Nick Haynes, current player, said something like, that's such a low blow. It's not cool. I think that's what he said. Which, I am not really a fan of piling on Shannon Dawson. Like, what did he do? He wasn't a jerk to anybody, I didn't think. Was he? I mean, I know he came back and beat Kentucky. But what did you expect him to do? He's going to try to win the game. That's not his fault. And He was frustrating, yes, but
It's not like he's some sort of villain of the program.
Yeah, I don't feel that way about him. Maybe I'm alone in
that.
He
wasn't here long enough.
Yeah, he was here for 1 year, and
he wasn't here long enough to really,
Yeah, I thought he was trying what he knew to do.
You don't get the vitriol? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that hatred toward. I don't feel any way. I think he's kind of a good guy. I always found him to be, honest when he spoke to the media and
Stoops didn't work well together. That doesn't make either one of them a bad person. They just clashed.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's funny. Well, social media. Social media is going to keep us from seeing Lynn Bowden for another week. Bless.
Well, here's what...
But I never would have seen the Wyoming punter whiff if it weren't for social media. So it really does have its its true societal benefits.
It does. It does. And you know what? We got this off of social media from CBS Sportsnet's Twitter account. They put highlights up and we play them. Here's Steven Johnson scoring for UK as we go to the break here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Short for Kentucky, knocking on the door, trying for the game's first points. Steven Johnson, a QB draw. Johnson, end zone, touchdown, Kentucky.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Calling all golfers. Labor Day is your last chance to save huge this summer at Edwin Watts Golf Shops. With deals in every department this Friday through Monday, you'll save up to 20% on apparel, footwear, golf bags, and carts. The more you spend, the more you save. Bridgestone E6 Soft and Speed golf balls are on sale for $19.99 a dozen. And you can pick up the Garmin S2 watch for only $119.99. Don't miss these deals and more, 4 days only at Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee. Open Labor Day from 9 to 5.
Hi, this is John Blevins from Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling with some tips for the summer heat. To help keep your bill low, set your thermostat at as high a temperature as comfortably possible and ensure humidity control if needed. The smaller the difference between the indoor and outdoor temperatures, the lower your overall bill will be. And if you need a reputable company for any air conditioning needs, call us at 859-252-3519. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. The
Heat Busters!
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of Hurricane Harvey, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit HurricaneHarveyAid.org. That's HurricaneHarveyAid.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I really wish I could find a lunch spot that had authentic Mediterranean food.
Not impossible at all. Skewers on West Tiverton Way serves authentic Mediterranean food with a ton of options to choose from, including vegetarian.
Like what?
Salads, soups, falafels, kebabs, baba ganoush, baklava, and a lot more. And all their dips, soups, and desserts are homemade.
Sounds like a great place, but I don't have a lot of time for lunch.
No worries. You can order ahead by phone or online at www.skewerslexington.com.
Great. Skewers for lunch it is then.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Is this,
this is Don't Stop Believing, right? So,
yeah. I'm sorry, but this song only is for the Sopranos to me. I can never hear it without thinking of the Sopranos.
I didn't even think about it, but yeah, oh my gosh. That's the closing song.
I mean, the Sopranos revived that song. Nobody was listening to that song. Nobody was talking about that song. Journey was dead to everyone, and The Sopranos played that to end the scene of that series.
Dan, that's been played at every white person's wedding reception since 1983.
You didn't hear it on the radio nearly as much until The Sopranos brought it back. Steve Perry owes The Sopranos money. Sopranos should not have to pay royalties. Steve Perry should have to pay for that one. Thank God they didn't
and
play
it. And if Steve Perry doesn't...
Sherry.
I would love...
Hold on. All right, that's enough. We've done all we can do there. Well, I was going to play something, have something else from... Yeah, let's listen to Stoops here. Because we've been talking about the offensive line. This is the second Stoops bite, Brad. And we heard Grand kind of talk about it a little bit. Bunchy going out kind of threw some stuff off. But here's Stoops on what he felt. Because this was one of the best offensive lines in the SEC last year. Is it because Toth and Mosier and Ramsey Myers are gone? Is that what it is? What is it? Here's Stoops.
What do you think was going on?
Yeah, they did. I think there, when we watch the film, there's going to be a combination of things. I think there was some times at the point of attack that they got some push. We will do some things to offset that, and then there's going to be some things that we already know that our backs were hitting it too. They were not setting it up, and we'll get that situated. And there's going to be some plays there, so it's not just all on the offensive line. There's a lot of things the running backs can do better, and some decision making. We were in a big hurry. Like, again, we tried to offset that. Certainly defensively, we hit them over the head with a sledgehammer, some of the early season mistakes that usually happen, and we got a lot of those corrected, and you saw some of it on the offense, and some of that, you know, is just timing and playing and seeing it. But give them credit. They're a bunch of big guys, and they're disruptive and do a lot on defense, and, you know, got some momentum going, and that, you know, but again, that's where our team hung in there.
You could tell Stoops was really happy with the defense.
Yes. He's got that, like, he's got it going for him. But now, all we've talked about, though, mostly in the offseason is just, you know, the offense's prowess. Just, you know, its ability to be explosive.
And part of that was the offensive line. Of course, yeah. Cole Mosier, you take a huge hit there. John Toth is gone. Bunchy Stallings gets hurt. Is Drake Jackson, what is the status on him from Woodford County? Because I thought he was going to be center.
Right.
I didn't think he was going to start at center this game. I know that, but.
I was asked that yesterday during the game when Bunchy went out. Like, what's up with this Drake Jackson? I thought
because
he was supposed to be.
Because they moved people to different positions than they're used to playing as opposed to putting Drake under center.
Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't hear enough about Drake during the preseason and camp. His name just didn't come up in the rotation when they talked about it. I mean, because they've even moved Nick Haynes over. I think what it is, I don't think it's specifically that at the center position they like such and such guy better or whatever. I think what they're really trying to do is have the five best offensive linemen they have, regardless of position, on the field at once. And I think a guy like Logan Stenberg, a Mason Wolf, Nick Haynes, George Asafo-Ajay, Landon Young, Kyle Meadows. I mean, those six guys throughout there right now. I think they feel that they have six better than Drake. Now, Drake's a redshirt freshman, so I don't think that's necessarily a knock on him. It's just that they have some depth there, and before they put a redshirt freshman at center, I think they'd rather take a junior lineman who can play center and plug in a sophomore that's really talented at guard. You know what I mean? Does that all make sense?
Yes, but I think even before Bunchy got hurt in the Wildcat, there was definitely some snapping errors. Mm. You know, some bad snaps, some high snaps.
Now, Bunchy, of course, if you haven't read, we're going to talk to John Hale in a half an hour. If you haven't read, you're good time to do it during this break, but CourierJournal.com, his story on Bunchy going back home to Southern Miss, to that area, and like 50 family and friends there at the game, and then the story of his mother dying and about his brothers and his father who played at Southern Miss, all that stuff. Very good story. So there are nerves involved. I can see why that first snap might have sailed over Benny's head is because Bunchy was kind of nervous. I could see that. It's all right. All right, back with more here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hi, this is John Blevins from Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling with some summer plumbing tips. Be careful what you put down your disposal after your cookout. Run cold water at full pressure for 15 seconds before and after you put anything down the disposal to flush it through, and never put instant stuffing, potato mixes, or any just-add-water foods down the drain. For all your plumbing needs, call us at 859-252-3519. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, the
Plumbing Busters!
I've got a terrible stain on my best dress shirt. I was going to wear it on my business trip.
Don't worry. Just take it to Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. They'll get that stain right out.
There's not enough time for that. I leave for my trip in 2 days.
That's still no problem. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in same-day dress shirt service. If you drop your shirts off by 9 a.m., they'll have them ready for you the same day.
Wow. Say, I've got a pair of dress pants that are too long. Do you think they could take care of that, too?
Absolutely. Emperor's Cleaners provides top-notch alteration services.
Well, I guess I better get over there and get this stuff dropped off. Thanks.
You'll be in good hands. Emperor's Cleaners will give your clothes a royal treatment. Visit Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road to keep your clothing looking sharp and stylish. You'll stay dressed to the nines with our royal treatment at Emperor's Cleaners.
Emperor's Cleaners in the Idle Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. Give your clothes the royal treatment.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Good morning, I'm Doug Brown. Alabama coach Nick Saban is now 11-0 in season openers with the Crimson Tide, and he's 11-0 against his former assistant coaches. Bama does it with defense and special teams in Atlanta against Florida State.
Logan Tyler will punt from left to right. Back deep for Alabama, Trayvon Diggs.
Whoa, he's got it blocked. Loose ball on the field. It's down around the 5-yard line. Alabama's going to have it there. Damian Harris blocked it. And they're going to take over at the 5-yard line of Florida State.
Bill Rosinski on ESPN Radio. Alabama wins 24-7 with a punt block, a field goal block, and three takeaways. More bad news for Jimbo Fisher. Seminoles quarterback DeAndre Francois had to leave the game with a left knee injury that could be serious. Elsewhere on the college football scoreboard from Saturday night, LSU beats BYU 27-0 at the Superdome. In Indianapolis, Louisville takes Purdue 35-28. Washington State shuts out Montana State 31-0. Baseball, the Indians win their 10th in a row, beating the Tigers 5-2. Blue Jays over the Orioles 7-2. The Twins beat the Royals 17-0. Eduardo Escobar with two home runs, and he drives in six. Elsewhere, the Diamondbacks win their 9th in a row, beating the Rockies 6-2. The Padres sweep a doubleheader from the Dodgers 6-5 and 7-2. Marlins beat the Phillies 10-9. Giancarlo Stanton with his 52nd home run of the season.
The NFLPA has requested to block Ezekiel Elliott's suspension because of new evidence. Should Elliott's suspension be overturned? We'll ask Bomani Jones. Monday morning, it's Mike and Mike, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Heck of a victory for our team. Very, very proud of this football team and come away with a win like that. Does so much for you. All the points of emphasis that we worked so hard in the offseason were evident in certain areas. In certain areas, we know we got to keep on working. That's what the first game's all about. And but, you know, that shows a lot of character, a lot of guts, a lot of determination from that football team to come out and win that game when you're not playing your best football, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. I'm not worried. I know we'll get better. We'll get some things fixed. And we'll go from there, you know, but I really just was proud. I mean, the improvement defensively was very, very evident. We would have never won this game had we not improved our run defense, and we certainly did that. And there are some pass plays that we have to do a better job, and we will. And there were some what we call 50-50 balls. There were just some balls that were just hung up there that we just got to work on and get better at playing the football and come down with our share. And they hit some big plays on those. You take those plays out of it, and I think we really played solid defense. The position on the football was much better. We our run defense was much more stout. I thought defensive line and predictable pass, we were hard to block. We executed some things very well. And there's some things that obviously we need to clean up on the defense side of the ball. Offensively, again, I know we'll get it ironed out. There were a lot of things that will get fixed, and we will. But to win a game when you only run 50-some plays on offense, and I thought they did a nice job, again, at just getting some first downs and being aggravated and keeping the defense on the field. They converted 2 fourth downs, which was, tough on us. It's basically another possession there defensively. So, very good victory. I'm very excited. It's definitely a good place to start from and to build from here.
How big were those forced fumbles?
Yeah.
It is. It's a better place to start at 1-0 than 0-1.
He mentioned the 50-50 balls. That secondary was supposed to be a strength. I mean, you look at Darius West and Mike Edwards and Jordan Griffin and Devontae Robinson and Lonnie Johnson and Cedric Dort and Derek Beatty and Chris Westry and Kendall Randolph. I mean, they're loaded, right? Well, they had some breakdowns.
2 years ago at this time, I thought, wow, in a year or two, this might be the best secondary in the SEC.
Well, 2 years or last year.
And I'm much more pleased after one game with the defensive line, the defensive ends, mm-hmm. the linebackers.
Yeah.
Much more impressed with that group.
Going into last season, Beatty and Westry were kind of like, yeah, we're DBU. Mike Edwards is saying that. We're calling ourselves DBU. There was a little even story about how Beatty and Westry want to go in the first round in consecutive picks in the NFL draft. Well.
Got some work to do.
Yeah, got some work to do. Got some work to do there. I don't know. Westry had such a great freshman season. And
the way he's built is like prototypical now what the NFL wants in it.
Yeah.
In a DB. But
they've got to improve. They definitely have to improve upon yesterday. I'm not super concerned yet with them. We'll see how it, 4 games in, if it's not a little better. I'm obviously very impressed with a guy like Josh Pascal.
And Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
He had a great game.
He had 3 tackles for a loss. Obviously, Denzel Ware.
That's who you kind of picked as the
That's what I said would be my defensive MVP. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he came through for me.
He sure did.
But Quentin Bohanna got in there. Weren't sure if we were even going to see him because when asked, they talked about him all preseason camp, talked him up, but then they said, well, remember, he's just a freshman, and Naquez Pringle and Matt Elam are ahead of him on the depth chart. Okay, so sounds like maybe we won't see him. They put him out there, mm-hmm. and he was active. God, is he big.
Yeah.
Man, he's huge. And Pascal's a monster, too.
Pascal is a beast.
And he's a third string guy.
He won't be third string this whole season, I don't think.
I think Stoops was able to do what he wanted, which is play a ton of guys on defense so that they didn't get winded. So that they had, he said, so we had some juice left at the end of the game to win it. And they did. So that's the biggest positive I take away is the performance of the defense. And let's just listen to Denzel Ware's touchdown. Because this is just, oh, so great.
Nice play. Greg's lost it. Dislodged. Picked up by Ware. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Kentucky. Denzel Ware. Scoop and score.
Now, when that happens, next to him is big Quentin Bohanna.
Yep.
Running after the ball.
And he's like, you know what, man? You got this. Yeah. You take that.
He backs up a little bit and goes, yeah, you got a little more athleticism and speed. Yeah. I don't want to get run down. It just won't look good.
Now, let me ask you this. You said Stoops got to do what he wanted to do on defense, get some of these guys in. He has said for the last 2 weeks that he would also really have liked to get Drew Barker into this game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the offense just never did anything to allow for that to happen.
Yeah.
However, with the struggles that the offense had, and I'm not saying it was on Steven Johnson. I really don't think any of the offense struggles were really on him, mm-hmm. right? Do you think he should have played Drew Barker?
Yes. I think so. I don't...
You had zero hesitation there.
Yeah, I don't think it's such a bad idea. I don't know why people get hung up on it. Steve Spurrier did it for years. I think if you have a clear-cut guy who is head and shoulders above, who's one of the top 20 quarterbacks in college football, that kind of thing. If you have a Baker Mayfield, if you have a Lamar Jackson, okay? If they are making plays, an Andre Woodson, a Tim Couch, then no, you don't want to mess with that. But if you have Steven Johnson, Andrew Barker, we've seen Drew Barker throw for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns and a half.
Against this team.
Yeah, against this team. Steven Johnson obviously led you now to 8 wins where he's either been the starter or played the majority of the game at quarterback. So you don't want to just sit him either. I don't think it has to be an either or. What did we see Purdue do yesterday? They went with that Blau and Sindelar, both of them. And they back and forth. And even when they went to Blau and he did well, they went back to Sindelar again.
I'm just not a fan of that, Dan.
Who else did that yesterday? Oh, Southern Miss.
Yeah.
Their quarterback, it wasn't moving in the first half, Keon Howard. They tossed him out and put in Quadre, whatever his last name is.
Yep.
And if they'd have started him, Kentucky might have been in a different situation in the second half. So I think if the offense isn't moving and you see Steven Johnson overthrow a few guys and it's just not on, throw Barker in there for a series and see what happens.
And you know the running game's not working, so if you have to take all things considered, I do think Steven Johnson is the right choice as the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. But if you just had to pinpoint just passing game.
Yeah.
Probably Drew has the edge on that.
I agree.
And the running game was not working.
I also, at the same time, while I would like to have seen Drew Barker, I also don't think Steven Johnson got a fair chance at...
Yeah, I don't think the offense was on him yesterday at all.
No. He didn't make the best of throws at times, but he didn't really get a good chance to get going either. They didn't throw the ball. It felt like they never threw the ball twice in a row.
Mm-mm.
You know, so I don't know about that either. And it would all be tough on Barker to come in cold and then be expected to, kill. But I still don't think it's such a bad idea to put Barker in there for a series and see what happens. And that doesn't mean Steven Johnson doesn't play again. If Barker's got it going and it looks good, we'll do it again. Or let's say the next time you're up 2 scores and you would like to grind it out a little bit, put Johnson back in there. It's creative. It gives teams a different look, gives them something else to prepare for. I think it's to your advantage.
By the way, Jeff Bidette caught a long bomb yesterday that was the exact same play that he ran with Steven Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked good. He looked good, no doubt about it.
I miss him.
Yeah, that was something else. I mean, Kaywan Ross.
I can't believe, I mean, from the game, he had a grab right away, and then it's just never again.
Well, I think of all the...
there were eight different receivers, or nine different receivers that caught passes. That seems crazy, doesn't it?
Really? I thought it was more like three or four.
I know. You would think that.
No. C.J. Conrad, 3 catches. Garrett Johnson, 2 catches. Charles Walker, 1. Benny Snell, 1. Ross, 1. Epps, 1. Richardson, 1. And Thomas, 1. Yeah.
That's 8 guys.
Yeah. That didn't feel like that at all, did
no,
it?
No, because they all have 1 catch.
Right. Now, Conrad, he was pretty stellar.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Conrad's touchdown here. They've been waiting on this for, what'd you say, 9 years?
9 years.
First catch of the career for Cleveland Thomas. Slot reception touchdown for C.J. Conrad. 23 yards for Kentucky. His second big catch of the ball game.
It's the same play. The same play that had the big game earlier.
I mean, I feel like that play is there a lot.
It was there last year. It's there this year. He had 59 yards on it. That would have, Kentucky was going in until Benny Snell fumbled. But what did Jen Smith tell us yesterday? Said that when you talk to the defensive players and get them one-on-one, they say that it's unfair that the offense has C.J. Conrad and Kaywan Ross. And you see why.
But Kaywan Ross has 1 reception.
Yeah. C.J., 3 catches, 97 yards in that touchdown. Of course, the big 59-yarder. He is capable of so much.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big target.
And Steven Johnson threw a bullet on that pass, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a great ball. But you just, why do you not go back to those guys more?
I don't know. I don't know. It's baffling. The only thing I can figure is what I said earlier, is that the idea was the defense was playing well. Let's just be super conservative on offense, run the wildcat, try to get some first downs, try to convert on third down, and don't take any risks, and don't show our hand too much for the SEC. It's all I can figure.
Because they weren't converting on third down.
It was so ugly. Just so ugly. All right, we're going to take a break. And in about 15 minutes, we got John Hale from the Courier-Journal. And then we'll tell you where the UK players, some of the former UK players in the NFL, wasn't a good day for them yesterday.
No.
Rosters cut back to the, 53-man roster for the NFL.
Yep, the final cuts because...
Yep. Season starts next week.
Thursday, right?
Oh, Thursday night. Yeah, that's right.
Chiefs-Patriots, yes.
Is that right? Well, yeah. That's a good one.
It is a good one. Hanging the banner.
So we'll be the bearer of bad news of former UK players who didn't make rosters next here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oye, amigo, it is the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Mike Greenberg, you've been called out. Stugatz is livid and has no inventory of self-awareness. Who is second place on stolen takes in the media industry? Plagiarists? Schemers?
Second place is also Stugatz.
Dan Lebatard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Oh no! I broke my iPhone.
Experimat can fix it.
But how much will that cost? I'll probably have to rob a bank, hit the lottery, or hope a long-lost relative leaves me a huge sum of money.
Not at Experimat.
Experimat? What's that?
Experimat is your place for pre-owned Apple products and repair.
Repair?
Yep. iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBook, and Macs. You break it, Experimat repairs it. Experimat, 2380 Norman Lane, Suite 130, right next to Salsarita's. Or call 859-368-9265. Experimat. Computers, tablets, phones, buy, sell, trade, or repair.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Are you self-conscious around others because your dentures might slip or spaces left by missing teeth may show? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying, good dentistry isn't expensive, lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington, and be proud to show off those pearly whites.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
All right. Oh, that gets you going right there, little Van Halen. Love this one. All right, bad news for these guys. Marcus McWilson cut by the Raiders. J.D. Harmon, another former UK defensive back, cut by the Browns. Josh Forrest, linebacker.
And he got some clock last year for the Rams.
Yeah, cut by the Rams. Chris Matthews of catching a touchdown in the Super Bowl fame.
Yes.
Cut by the Ravens. And Boom Williams did not make the Broncos roster. He was cut. So Boom now is in the situation where I don't know if... Now, when it says they're cut, that means they didn't make the 53-man roster. They could still make the practice squad.
Yes, yes.
Practice squad money is really good money. Still a very good wage. If you're a football player, if you're Boom Williams.
Is this like $100,000?
That's more than that. It's six figures for sure. It's a nice paycheck. I mean, if you're any of these guys I just named, your goal is to be on a practice squad instead of try to find a job in the real world type deal where a non-athletic position.
Do you think it would have behooved Boom to stay another year or not really because he was always he's going to be the same back? If yeah. he'd been in college another year. Because I kind of feel like that is the situation.
Yeah, I don't know that
it
would
have
helped.
I don't know that it would have been any different no. after next year.
Mm-mm. He might have shown something that somebody didn't see the first time around. I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't know that he makes a roster if it's a year later. Would have helped Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then James Quick, the former Louisville Cardinal, the former... Trinity Shamrock.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had the state record for.
He was Mr. Football, I believe.
Mm-hmm. He had the state record for catches, yards, touchdowns. I can't remember, but the kid from Pulaski County broke it last year.
Now, he tweeted something out the other day, James Quick did, that was basically someday I'm going to tell all of you what Louisville is really like. And since all the people are the same, I'll only have to tell the story once. One of these days. It had a negative connotation to it.
Well, he won't be telling it in Washington, D.C., because the Redskins cut him. Save it for when you get home, bud. So that's that on the NFL. But that season starts, yes, Thursday with the Chiefs and the Patriots. All right, Brad, what do you got here? Each player will make at least $122,400 if they land on the practice squad for a full season. Still.
That ain't bad.
Very nice to work.
Can you imagine being 21 years old and that's how much you make in a year?
Yeah. And your job is like staying fit and practicing football? Now, the one thing that would really, the only thing that would be bothersome, but you could get over it, is that you practice because you play. So that's the payoff. Because
mm-hmm.
when you don't get paid to play football, the payoff is playing football. Practice isn't necessarily like fun. It's not a game. So you never get to play in a game. But still.
And there's a whole lot of uncertainty, I would think, with that too. There's not, you're not guaranteed a spot on the practice squad for the next 3 years.
Right. There's a little peace of mind that you don't have. But you're also not selling insurance. You're not sitting behind a computer. You're not driving all over Eastern Kentucky peddling drugs.
That sounds worse than it is. I'm on the up and up.
Yeah. So you're still just making sure you take care of your body and practicing football. So, yeah, it's a good job. I was super surprised yesterday. Did you think Purdue and Jeff Brohm were going to be able to give Louisville as much trouble as they did?
I didn't, because just in my mind, Purdue is perennially bad. But I do think Jeff Brohm is a really good coach.
Yeah.
He obviously knows Petrino inside and out. I mean, coached with him and all that stuff. So there's that part of it, too.
And he's got two quarterbacks that are going to... They're going to make it
now, and Louisville did shoot themselves in the foot so many times. So though, if those mistakes are corrected, it probably looks a little bit different on the scoreboard.
But such a key part is Louisville is driving one of Purdue's best defensive players, defensive lineman, Lonzo. Ooh.
Zaire Alexander?
No. I mean, Purdue's defensive lineman. Lonzo Neal, maybe? I can't remember his name. He comes through, and just as soon as Lamar Jackson releases the ball, his face mask lands in Lamar's chest, and he hits him, roughing the passer call. Then they go, wait a minute, we're going to look at that just a little longer. Oh, it's also targeting. He's kicked out of the game. They said... They even had an official on there. That is the definition of the rule of targeting right there. By the letter. I'm like, it doesn't feel like it to me. It did not. That guy did not, put the crown of his helmet down and try to destroy Lamar's chin or his head or anything. No. It was like a bear hug and the face mask was right in his chest.
And in real time, that it happens, in a split second.
Yeah,
there's
no way he could pull up. And it's not in the spirit of the rule. That wasn't a malicious type nasty thing. It's still a violent game. There are going to be things like that's not an intentional, whatever. I don't want to get too much into that debate. But I felt it was a bad break for Purdue. And I'm watching the Alabama game, and I see the same thing. Alabama does the exact same thing to Francois. And there's nothing. There's no roughing. There's no targeting. There's nothing. Then Bonifon fumbles it out of the end zone. They say it's not clear. They call it a touchdown. And they say it's not clear enough because they don't have a goal line view. How do you not have a goal line view?
Literally, if you can only have one view, it would be the goal line view.
I mean, this game is on national television. It's on Fox across the country in primetime Saturday night opening weekend. You don't have a goal line camera?
They've got cameras for everything.
I know. They have 100 cameras. The other night, ESPN put, 8 channels dedicated to some crappy game? Do you remember that? That was like the...
They had him up in the bathroom.
It was Ohio State, Indiana. Lorenzo Neal was that tackle's name, by the way. But Bonifon, it was a touchback. It was a touchback.
Yeah, clearly.
Called a touchdown. And that was the game. They got hosed. Steve's on the line. Let's get to Steve. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Hey, guys. Well, you hit on part of what I was going to talk about is the lack of reviews that I saw throughout the day yesterday. We didn't have any in the Kentucky game. You played the C.J. Conrad. You actually played his second touchdown. You didn't play the first one.
Because he got hosed
on that. He didn't step out of bounds.
No, he didn't.
I mean, you saw the line.
Oh, and those dumb announcers went, "Oh, looks pretty clear to me," and made the right call. No, they didn't. What are you watching?
Yeah, I mean, the line was not disturbed at all. The turf, whatever you want to call it, I know it's not grass, but you know, it was the line was not did not get stepped on.
No,
and you know, they missed that call. They missed the ridiculous first down measurement.
Oh, I mean,
that was just insane.
That was, I know I need to move on past that, but I just still can't get over how awful that was. Because you don't even need technology for that one. It's the freaking chains that they've had since the beginning of time in football, and it still didn't measure right.
It was so unbelievable to me. Like I said earlier, I questioned myself. I'm like, do I have it wrong? What's a first down, you know, like after all these years? Because, I mean, how do you call that? It couldn't have been more blatant.
Well, I can remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, it seems like didn't the NFL go to a deal where they put this little...
I think they're going to put a GPS tracker in the ball or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I'm talking about on the chains themselves. They put this little sort of an L-shaped device and where you could put the chain... Or the stick right down over the ball, so they, you know, it was like a, you know, the chain would go up to like the last 2 feet, and then they had this little L-shaped thing, and so basically, if the stick touched the ball, it was a first down. Otherwise, it was not.
Yeah.
And of course, I guess they don't have that anymore. They don't use it. But to me, if it touches the stick, it's a first down. If it doesn't, it isn't.
Right. That's it.
It was at least an inch away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't think he had a good view of it. I mean, I don't know what he was looking at. The official on the ground.
The other official didn't know what he was looking at either.
Yeah, he looked up at him like, "Are you serious? Did you just call that?" He should have the guts to go, "Are you sure? Take another look. Come here."
Yeah, that was a tremendous photo there. The guy was like, "Huh?"
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You gotta be kidding. Well, maybe Nick Saban. You know, Nick Saban, the entrepreneur. I'm sure he probably opened there at the Atlanta at the Mercedes-Benz Arena. He probably opened a dealership there. maybe he can get into the lens crafter business. Maybe that would help the officials out or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was crazy. And then you talked about the Purdue game last night. I mean,
yeah.
How do you not have how can you not have a camera?
I don't know.
I can understand maybe Kentucky Southern Miss not having every available camera. But how do you
we can't even get good announcers for that game, let alone a camera on the goal line. But this is Fox's primetime game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And they're going to have a primetime game every Saturday of the season. I mean, this is their deal. I mean, this was their opener. I don't know how you don't have a camera there. I don't know. Yeah, this wasn't a Conference USA game. This was... Primetime Saturday night.
Hey, thanks, Steve. We got to get to a break, and then we're getting John Hale from the Louisville Courier Journal on right after this break.
On the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
When you are injured or intentionally attacked at a place of business, there are things you should know and things you should do. First, know that you will have the burden to prove that the place of business knew or should have known of the dangerous condition. Make sure someone goes back and immediately takes pictures. Keep any and all receipts to prove you were there. Get witnesses if you can, and keep your shoes and clothing that you were wearing at the time of the injury. When you're the victim of a crime, that very business or public facility may not have provided proper lighting or security. They also may have negligently hired the person responsible for your injury. Once you hire us, we begin the process of obtaining evidence, taking witness statements, and investigating your claim. Time is of the essence. Don't wait. Call us on your cell phone at Pound Law. That's #529, or visit forthepeople.com. Morgan & Morgan, for the people. Offices, Lexington.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Here comes the windup. There's the pitch. This one is out of the park. Hitting a home run is always great, but what's not great is hitting a utility line. Before you dig, always contact 811. Hitting a utility line is dangerous. It can cause property damage, injuries, and even death. Call before you dig is the law. Before you strike out on that digging job, dial 811 or go to 811now.com.
I've got a terrible stain on my best dress shirt. I was going to wear it on my business trip.
Don't worry. Just take it to Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. They'll get that stain right out.
There's not enough time for that. I leave for my trip in 2 days.
That's still no problem. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in same-day dress shirt service. If you drop your shirts off by 9 a.m., they'll have them ready for you the same day.
Wow. Say, I've got a pair of dress pants that are too long. Do you think they could take care of that, too?
Absolutely. Emperor's Cleaners provides top-notch alteration services.
Well, I guess I better get over there and get this stuff dropped off. Thanks.
You'll be in good hands. Emperor's Cleaners will give your clothes a royal treatment. Visit Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road to keep your clothing looking sharp and stylish. You'll stay dressed to the nines with our royal treatment at Emperor's Cleaners.
Emperor's Cleaners in the Idle Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. Give your clothes the royal treatment.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Whether it's a natural disaster devastating thousands or a home fire affecting a family, the American Red Cross is there. I'm Jennifer Adrio, CEO of the Kentucky Region Red Cross. Help us as we celebrate 100 years in Kentucky. Contact your local Red Cross today.
ESPN Sports Radio 13. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, if you're a guy and this is your walk-up music, you got to be happy about that. You can thank Brad for this, John. Sharp-dressed what? Man. I'm sure John is sharply dressed on a Sunday morning getting off a flight from Hattiesburg or wherever he was. But good morning, John. Thanks for making time for us.
No problem. Thanks for having me. And I'm pretty sure if my wife saw me right now in the Atlanta airport, she would not claim to know me because of what.
Well, let's just start with your general impressions. What were, you know, your top takeaways from yesterday?
So I think I pretty much agree with what Mark Stoops said after the game. Basically, it wasn't pretty, especially on offense. The defense was much better than it was for most of last year. The run defense was improved, and if they hadn't done that, they probably wouldn't have won the game. But overall, I mean, pretty is one thing, and as he said, they threw for 400 yards in the first half last year, and everybody was excited about how fun the offense was and looked, and then they lost the game. And yeah. They didn't do that yesterday. So I think that shows a lot of progress, because there were times in that second half when they could have folded like they did a year ago, and they could have let Southern Miss come back and tie it. I think they had three drives in the fourth quarter with a chance to tie the game, and to see the defense step up the way it did was really encouraging for me. That being said, there are offensive issues that need to be addressed, and there are probably more questions on that side of the ball than we had a month ago.
Yeah.
But if you assume that the offensive line has not suddenly forgotten how to play, and that Benny Snell and the running backs have not, or at least Benny Snell has not suddenly become much worse than he was a year ago, and those things are going to work themselves out, the fact that the defense has made progress, if the offense just gets where it's expected to be, just gets where it was, then that, I think that means they could still have a really special season.
So, John, offensively, obviously there was a lot of things not working, including the Wildcat. And we kind of had talked, you know, all this preseason that Lynn Bowden would be a good option in that Wildcat. The coaches have raved about him, how spectacular some of the plays he was making in those scrimmages were. And then we didn't really see him yesterday. And then after the game, he kind of let that air out on social media a little bit. How do you think Mark Stoops will react to that?
Yeah, I don't think pleasantly. That's my guess. We'll ask him about it tomorrow. I noticed that as of pretty late last night, by the time I'd left the stadium, Lynn had deleted the initial tweet, which it's always fun to try and read into these 18, 19-year-old kids' head and try and figure out what all those emojis and everything mean. But
right.
Based on the responses and what he was retweeting around it, I think it's pretty safe to say that he was expressing displeasure with I think he only got in for one play. I only saw him for one play. It was the touchdown pass to C.J. Conrad, I think, and he was in there at slot receiver. So he obviously didn't get the ball thrown his way. Definitely didn't run it in the Wildcat like we thought we might see. My guess with that was that if you can win without using Lynn Bowden in the Wildcat against Southern Miss, you got to figure you're going to win pretty comfortably against Eastern Kentucky next week. And then maybe by the time you get into SEC play, you've got some wrinkles there that you haven't shown anybody yet. That's how I would have approached it. That being said, I was a little bit surprised they didn't get him in the game more. They didn't throw it to him a little bit more. And obviously he wasn't very happy. Stoops, I would expect tomorrow is going to be probably pretty demonstrative in his displeasure with that. We'll be interested to see if there are any sort of external punishments for Lynn or if it's just an internal thing to handle. But it's definitely not the way you wanted to start your career. I think he just needs to probably look at Benny Snell and see that Benny didn't record a carry the first two games last year and then set six UK freshman rushing records.
Yeah.
But so how you start doesn't matter. It's how you finish.
But I think Eddie Grant has made the comment that maybe he screwed up and being too afraid to play Benny as a true freshman early on, and that maybe that might get corrected with Lynn.
Yeah, I think, and Eddie said yesterday when we asked him about the Wildcat that he was probably too stubborn and stuck with it too long and probably should have opened it up a little bit. They tried some deep shots there in the second half, and it just didn't work. I think one of them, at least, was a throw Steven could have done better, and then a couple of them were Isaiah Epps, another freshman receiver, probably didn't run through the route the way that they wanted him to. So they tried a little bit, but I think there's no doubt that they stuck with the Wildcat long after Southern Miss proved that they had the answer for it. And some of Benny's other runs, just out of traditional formations, were better, so maybe do that more. And if they were going to be a little more aggressive, I think part of that is having Lynn Bowden on the field more and getting the ball in his hands and seeing what he can do. I wonder if, like I said, they were trying to hide him a little bit for harder games, and maybe that just didn't get communicated to him, but if it's me, you probably want him out there with some experience and not have him go into that South Carolina trip as the first game that they're really going to make him a big part of the offense.
Yeah, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but if they were blowing out Southern Miss, it'd be one thing to say, well, let's hold back and not do any of this stuff. But it was a one-score game most of the game, so it wasn't like there was a ton of breathing room. Like, if you had some other options in the offense that you thought were going to work, you wanted to make sure that you won that game. I mean, that would have been a disaster to not win that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw that a little bit a year ago, too, when they got up big and obviously scoring as quickly as they did in the first half last season was ended up hurting them a bit in terms of their depth on defense, time possession, and all that. But after they got up 35-10, they got really conservative, and maybe part of that was because Drew Barker had gotten hit and wasn't feeling great back there. But we saw, and the run game didn't exactly work really well last season against Southern Miss. The offensive line didn't play great that game either. So it was interesting to see them stick with that, and I think my guess is if Eddie had it to do over, he would have tried a little bit more, maybe, and I think certainly that's a very fair criticism for fans to have this morning.
We're talking with the Courier-Journal's John Hale here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Continuing along those lines, is that what you believe? What is your explanation for why the offense looked the way it did? Because it was a lot of wildcat. It was conservative, except for a couple of shots downfield. It didn't look creative at all, and it looked nothing like the way Kentucky played against Louisville. It looked nothing like we thought Eddie Grant wanted it to look like. And you, yeah, and what I was getting at in my question was, is, do you think if they were just holding back, that's part of it? They're trying to hold back and save some of what they want to do and not show their hand to South Carolina and Florida and the rest of the SEC?
I mean, I think that was part of it, but like Mary Jo said, I mean, it's close enough, and that game was in doubt, especially in the second half, to where you can't really afford to get too cute or get too conservative, and I think that was probably a mistake. That being said, they did win, and they handled it, and so I think sometimes just Mark Stoops' overall philosophy about, you know, the defense and being in control of the clock and doing everything as possible to help that side of the ball out, and he doesn't want the offense to go out there and go three and out and make mistakes and turn the ball over, and the fact that they were up the entire time, I just think it was easier for them to say, let's just keep with this, we're not going to lose the game, you know, running this offense this way, and if Southern Miss comes back and ties it, you know, maybe then they would have thrown some more stuff out there, and if Stephen Johnson had just hit on one or two of those deep balls, if Isaiah Epps had run through that one route, and frankly, Benny Snell hadn't fumbled in the first quarter on that drive, and they'd scored that that touchdown after the long Conrad pass, we're having a completely different conversation this morning, I think. It's just one that I don't think anybody on that side of the ball is happy with, and they're going to have to get a lot better to be a better team.
Well, to go to the positive, though, you look defensively, and you Courtney Love, Denzel Ware, Josh Allen. I mean, so many of these guys played their tails off yesterday, played great games.
Darius West,
finally, after all the injuries. It was fun. They gave up 55 yards rushing. I mean, that's not something Kentucky does.
Yeah, no, I thought that was and against a guy in Ito Smith who had, 170 yards against Kentucky a year ago?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like he was a pushover by any means. So I thought that was really encouraging. And if I'm a fan today, I'm more encouraged by the play of the defense than I was discouraged by the offense. That's just, I mean, maybe I'm an optimist at heart there, but that's just how I think. I mean, I thought the outside linebackers, and Dean Hood said this afterwards, that they saw up ahead of the week, they just thought they were more talented there. And they had some mismatches, and that proved out. I mean, Denzel Ware and Josh Allen were basically unblockable the entire game. I don't know that I've seen a position group on defense play as well as that group did. And then you throw Josh Pascal, the freshman, who came in and made the huge play on the last Southern Miss drive at the goal line there.
That was a fun
that
play.
That group was great. Courtney Love had one of his better games at Kentucky in 2 years. Darius West was really good. I thought Matt Elam had maybe his best game as a Wildcat. I mean, he was really good in the first half and getting the backfield. He had second tackle for a loss ever. Was a little quieter in the second half, which maybe is to be expected as the heat and some of that got up. But I thought the defensive line overall was pretty good. And they rotated a bunch of guys up front, and they got guys like Cordell Looney and Calvin Taylor played a bunch. And
Bohanna got in there.
Bohanna got in there, and Elam and Pringle and Middleton and T.J. Carter. So I think they had a nice rotation up there, and the linebackers were good. The corners, I thought, that was an issue. I mean, obviously Chris Westry did not have his greatest game. Derek Fady had I think, one miss. Jordan Griffin got beat. So they got to figure out that a little bit on some of those deep balls, and Mark wasn't very happy about that after the game, but that's a talented group, so you figure they're going to fix that. So I thought the defense, I don't think there's much to complain about overall for the defense yesterday.
No, I don't either. Other than the secondary being a little iffy, I was wildly impressed with the line.
It is a huge positive to be able to play as many guys as he did. I mean, if they can keep that up, that is big going down the road.
Yeah, and we talked to a couple guys about that, too. I mean, because last year the narrative was such about time of possession, and even though they were up big, they were on the field so long, and that just wasn't sustainable for the defense when they collapsed, that this year the depth made a difference. I mean, they were rotating two or three guys at every position on the field, basically.
Yeah.
And when you can do that, when it gets late in the game, even though Kentucky was down pretty heavily in time of possession again, they had more bodies on defense, and they were able to go out, like we said earlier, on three drives in the fourth quarter when Southern Miss had a chance to tie the game and hold them out of the end zone and make sure they won that game for the offense on a bad night on that side of the ball.
I didn't, from what I listened to, I didn't hear anyone respond to this. Did you hear anyone from UK respond to the first down that was clearly not a first down, that was called a first down for Southern Miss? I mean, it was a bad spot in the first place, but then the chain itself, we have video evidence.
Yeah, we were, obviously, Southern Miss setup was really weird. They did not really like showing the replays on the video board there, and there were no TVs in the press box, so the only thing we were getting was what people were tweeting at us and those screenshots that were happening on the game. Obviously, Mark was really upset when it happened. He did make one kind of veiled reference after the game, said something about, like, it's game inches, we missed one by an inch, and he had a big smile, and they got one by an inch or whatever. And so I wouldn't be shocked if Mark had a phone call into the SEC office this morning. He's not going to talk about it publicly, I can't imagine, just because that stuff's frowned on and you get fined and whatnot. But yeah. That was definitely, if the screenshots were as clear as they were looking when they were getting it tweeted at me, that's one that somebody in the office has some explaining to do for sure.
Yeah, it was clear. it was clear. Those were not memes. They were not crying Jordan footballs. That was not a first down.
Yep.
And then
that's bad.
And lastly here, would like to ask you about kind of your take on the offensive line. What had them kind of out of sorts? And is it an area of concern, or it's just going to take a little bit of time and they'll be fine?
I think they're going to figure it out, but it's definitely a concern as of today. I mean, I tweeted this yesterday, and I think it's probably something that we hadn't talked about enough, me maybe leading that charge, just assuming that they were going to make up for the losses. But we knew John Toth was really good. Ramsey Myers is a useful player, obviously, in the rotation last year, and Cole Mosier we knew was going to be a starter. So, but maybe losing those three guys was a bigger deal than we thought it was. And I think the bigger issue yesterday, on an emotional day for Bunky Stallings, which I wrote about over the on Friday leading up to the game.
Oh, we haven't even gotten to that part yet. I'm sorry.
He was not great early in the game. He had some trouble snapping on the Wildcat, which I think is maybe that's an issue where he snapped at the same spot he would for Steven and Benny Shorter. I don't know. There were a couple high. Obviously, Benny almost lost one of them. That happened a few times in the game, so the center snapping issue is a concern. I mean, that was the first time anybody had started center since John Toth in the first game of the Mark Stoops era.
Yeah.
Did not start there. So that was an issue, I thought. And then I think a year ago, all the rotation and the depth helped them. But yesterday, it seemed like to me, having guys move all over the place and here and there, and it looked like they were just throwing whatever group they could get out there. And some of that was because Bunchy got hurt and they came to go center and obviously so on and so forth. But it just seemed like there was no cohesion up there. And C.J. Conrad said that communication was an issue and Southern Miss moved so much on the defensive line that they were having a hard time dealing with that. And I think maybe they're just going to have to stick with five offensive linemen, find your best five starters, and then, you know, get some depth and give them a breather, you know, a few times a game. But the days of playing, you know, eight and nine guys interchangeably, that seemed to hurt Kentucky yesterday.
Now, you asked earlier about Drake Jackson.
Yeah, is Drake Jackson a factor on that at all?
Yeah, he was there. I saw him warming up a couple times on the sideline. I just think that they were more comfortable with Nick as the center, and I think that that's a spot if Nick Haynes is going to play at 265 pounds or whatever it's going to be with his diabetes, center maybe a little more manageable, which is why I thought they listed him as an or on the depth chart there with Bunchy this week. I would imagine, though, if Bunchy is still banged up, we'll see more of Drake this week in practice. And then maybe I think you definitely got to get him in the game against DKU, assuming you're going to have a chance to get all your backups in there and get him some experience. Because if center is going to be a question mark, there's a guy there on the roster, obviously, that they recruited as a U.S. Army All-American. And at some point, you got to see what he can do.
Yeah.
And go read that Bunchy Stallings story that John wrote this week, because it was really good.
CourierJournal.com. Great stuff. You're talking to both of his brothers and just the background there. Very good story, and that would help you kind of understand why that first snap in the Wildcat went over Benny Snell's head.
Yeah, well, definitely. Thanks,
and safe travels back to Lexington, John.
I appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, John.
Thank you, John.
John Hale from the Courier Journal here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Should we go to a break? No. Brad says no.
Do you feel like we have gotten our negativity out of our systems?
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Like moving forward, you feel like we're still on a positive track? I know it's just CKU next week.
Yeah. I don't feel as good about it as I thought I would. I thought I would feel better about the first game. But the offense, and I don't want to waste these comments that we put in here. Let's hear from Eddie Grand on Steven Johnson. This was Eddie Grand's third bite here. And here's what his assessment of Steven Johnson right here.
I thought it was okay. I mean, you know, in the first half, I thought he was pretty good. He took that sack right before the 2 minutes, which he cannot do. And then after that, it was just okay. There's going to be some things in there he'll learn from, too. And, you know, and I didn't give him a chance to just, you know, chuck it all over the place. But we can get better everywhere. That's a great part about this. Because I know last year at this time, I didn't feel very good at all. I'm fired up. I can't wait, because all we can do is get better. I mean, we've got a long way to go, and that's game one. So we got to go to the next one.
What are the things you have to get?
So he did not feel very good at this time last year.
Because they were 0-1.
And he had to figure out how to play offensively. They had to change. Benny Snell was a big part of that. So he feels a lot better. And then he also said, I didn't allow him to chuck it all over the yard. So he realizes he didn't allow Steven to get into any kind of rhythm, because he kept sending him out at wide out and snapping the ball to Benny Snell.
So hard for a quarterback to get rhythm at wide out.
So, to me, reading into that more, it says to me, we didn't show our hand. That's why I feel good. I didn't give Steven a fair opportunity to do his thing with his arm. And so, the thing we got to work on is running the ball better. And I think we'll be able to do that. We got the pieces up front. We got the pieces in the backfield.
I do think, as John Hale just mentioned, we might have underestimated the losses on the offensive line.
Well, John Toth also, if I'm right about this, I'm pretty sure it used to be under Shannon Dawson that the quarterback would call out the blocking schemes. He would read it and say, okay, here's what you guys are going to do. And then I believe when Grand came in, it switched to John Toth, the center, calls out who does what, you know, every play. And so you got Bunchy there who hasn't done it before. And so, yeah, it's natural that it would take some time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, Southern Miss's defensive line, if you watch that, they were running around all over the place.
Yeah,
they might line up in front of you, and the guy that's lined up on in front of the left tackle winds up blitzing in between or winds up coming around and running at the right tackle. And when you've got all that kind of movement, it's hard to call out those things and get them right. So that's something. I really have faith in the offensive line improving and being fine. I really do, because they have experienced big bodies. I think they'll be fine.
I think the offense will improve.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to turn my half empty glass to half full now and just move forward.
Okay. Well, we'll be back next Saturday and preview, you know, EKU game kicks off at noon. We'll be here for it on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Happy Labor Day.